Hello, everybody. Before we get into the show, I'm going to do some business real quick. Normal stuff. Head over to Facebook, like the Facebook page, share the Facebook page, comment on the Facebook page, then head over to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @ComesNaturalPod. You can tweet at us there. You can follow us on there. We'll follow you back. We will tweet at you. Then head over to iTunes, where you can rate and review the show. You can subscribe to it, so it downloads every Wednesday and Friday when the new episodes come out. You can also share that if you wish. Then head over to blogtalkradio.com/comesnaturally. You can get all the other ways you can listen to the show. If you're not an iTunes user, it has links to the Facebook and the Twitter too. So really you can go there and it takes care of everything, but you can stream it from the website as well as you can use that RSS feed and put it into whatever podcasting app you would like to listen to it from. And, that is the business for this week. This is The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody. Welcome to the show. We're going to continue our superhero themed month, our Thankful for Superheroes. My whole thing this month is going to be lesser known by the mass, not comic book collectors, because comic book collectors know these ones for sure. Well, not all of them, but most of them. Real hardcore guys. These ones will be comic book franchises that I think deserve TV shows and or movies or both or however. I believe they're franchises that can go beyond the print media and into the big screen, small screen stuff. Anyways, last week we talked about Invincible. This week we're going to go to a different creator and two different books. And I'll try to squeeze these both in here without rushing through too much. But Brian K. Vaughan has written, if you guys listen to the main show, you'll know that Joe and myself love Brian K. Vaughan. We have nothing but amazing stuff to talk about. And this isn't Saga. I know a lot of people go, oh, Brian K. Vaughan, it's Saga. It's not going to be Saga. I think Saga would be amazing. It needs to end first, so Brian needs to get... Not, don't end it now, Brian. Don't do that. I'm just saying at the end of it, so we're not running into each other, because it's the pace they make for the book, the show would easily catch up. But I think that needs to be an animated show, just because the design of the characters and trying to do too much CG would cost too much. I think just doing it animated, also being able to use the art style that Fiona Staples uses would be amazing. Anyways, I'm not talking about that today. That will be Brian K. Vaughan month, where I'll go more in depth of these individual books as well as more of his amazing books that he's made. But first, we're going to go to Ex Machina. No, not the movie about the robot lady who tricks General Hux from Star Wars into falling in love with her and then trapping him and killing her maker. No, not that one. The comic book Ex Machina is a book by Brian K. Vaughan and Tony Harris, who does the art. This, real quick synopsis. I'll read it right off this page here. The series details the life of Mitchell Hundred, aka also known as the Great Machine, the world's first and only superhero, who, in the wake of his actions on 9/11, is elected mayor of New York City. The story is set during Hundred's term in office, and the interwoven and with flashbacks of his past as the Great Machine. Through this, the series explores both the political situations Hundred finds himself in, and the mysteries surrounding his superpowers. So, his superpowers, if you look at the covers for these, you're going to think, oh, it's like a flight suit, like kind of like Rocketeer and Iron Man, blah, blah, blah. No. He does have a jetpack. He does fly around, much like the Rocketeer. But his superpower is not that he flies around, because that's just like a thing. What his superpower is, and it's actually lesser known to most people think he's just flying around and he has gadgets, he can actually talk and control machines. So computers, anything that has microchips and motherboards and stuff like that, circuit boards, he can command, he can take control of, he can shut off, he can manipulate, he can do all sorts of stuff. And so he uses that to build his jetpack and some other utilities that he uses to help him fight crime. And his debut, essentially... his big debut was during the attack on the World Trade Center on 9/11, and he actually in this alternate history saves one of the towers from being destroyed. So he's able to actually get onto the plane and control the plane and make it not go into the other tower. It's actually a really, like, the reveal in the book, spoilers, by the way, I forgot to mention that we're going to have a lot of this, in this month's episodes. I'm going to spoil a lot of stuff just because I want you guys to go out there and read them and understand things. But he essentially saves that, and it leads to him being elected mayor because he can use that as, you know, hey, like, I am a real hero, and I this is what I stand for. And then there's a lot of stuff in this. Now, mind you, it's 50 issues plus four specials, so 54 issues altogether. Its original published date was 2004. So the events of the book happened in 2000 to 2008. Well, there's some stuff after that, but it's like flash forward stuff. But for the most part, that's what it ran, was 2004 to was when it was started. The actual comic book started. The story itself takes place starting in 2000, and it flashes back to when he was younger too, a little bit younger, not like super young. There's a lot of that in there, but the cast of characters are fantastic, and they're not your run-of-the-mill cookie cutter heroes. But the big thing about this book, besides the whole, like, you know, alternate history with him saving the one of the towers, is the big thing is, like, he has all these abilities, but he actually refuses to use them when he was running for mayor, because he could easily hack computers to make himself win, but he doesn't want to do that because no one really knows. He hides that portion. That's what I mean, is everyone thinks he's just this flying hero. No one really knows that he can control machines, because otherwise he could cheat. He didn't cheat. That's a thing that they kind of bring up in there. But the cast of characters are pretty awesome. Mitchell 100 himself, everyone calls him 100. He's amazing. He's this really brilliant. He started off as a civil engineer, and he loves New York. He's a keen reader of DC Comics, which is really funny. To me, it was really funny. This book was originally published on Wildstorm, which was later then gobbled up by DC, so that helped a lot too. But he's a comic book nerd. He was raised by a single mother who was in the political system. I can't remember if she was a senator, and like, she was just really into politics, which got him into it, and then obviously went from there. He's joined by his best friend and retired U.S. Marine Corps captain named Rick Bradbury. There's a lot of interesting story between those two, but there's basically three people that are like kind of his like go-to people. He has his superhero half, and then he has his political half, and he has teams on both sides that know certain things and the other ones don't. His other third person on his, or the other person he has with him on his superhero side is they refer to him as Kremlin. His name is Ivan Tershakov, I think it was called. I don't know if that's right or not. I'm terrible with names, so I'm going to butcher those every time. I butchered Mitchell 100 when I first said it in the beginning of this episode, so there you go. He is a mechanic at the Coney Island Amusement Park, and he mentors 100 or Mitchell, and basically inspires him into doing or being the great machine and helping him design the costume and all these things. And he's a Russian immigrant. That's why his name is the way it is. And that's why they call him Kremlin. But he's a very big proponent of, being a hero. There's a lot of, again, tension between the three of them, with things, what they want to do, how Hunter doesn't want to be the great machine after he decides he wants to run for mayor. So that's a pretty interesting, like, little story bit there too. And I should mind you, and so this is very science fiction-y. There's this alternate dimension that he visits, or that visits him technically, really. So he gets these flashes of these other supernatural beings. It's just crazy. It's super amazing. But the story, for the most part, is very politically heated. There's a part where his deputy mayor named Dave Wiley, his brother is a is a firefighter who is gay, and then Mitchell, as being mayor, approves a gay marriage, which goes against a lot of people and stuff like that. And there's like this crazy anti-war demonstration that goes on, and like people get poisoned by this crazy gas. And then, just like any good superhero, he has the cool thing about the way they do the story is with the flashbacks I mentioned earlier, is they tell you parts of the story that don't lead into certain things are happening. He just remembers them. So he's like going back and remembering what's happening. And he's trying to remember some things to then lead him up into what he's going to do. And just kind of not reminiscing, but like trying to remember things, and not because he needs to, because it's going to help him fix a problem or whatever. He just ends up relating to it. But he falls into this little trap, but he has this super awesome, I should say he's a nemesis, but he's not, how do I put this? He wants to be the nemesis to the Great Machine, but the Great Machine doesn't want to be, he never intended to be anything more than what he is. I know it's hard to lay a breakdown. I'm trying to stay away from too many spoilers. So if you guys want to go read this, you definitely can. And I recommend you reread it, 'cause it's amazing. But, Jack Fearson is a telepath in a way. He can talk to, I think he can control animals. I think is what it ends up being. I think he like doesn't like bring his brain into him. Like doesn't control them. He can command them to do things, just like Mitchell can with machines and electronics. Fearson can do the same thing with animals. It's a pretty interesting little thing. And there's a lot of other characters thrown in there. I'm not going to go through all of them because there's a bunch. But there's like a police commissioner, that he has back and forth with. There's a reporter. There's a bunch of crazy stuff. And there's like, it's cool because Brian K. Vaughan wrote a lot of political stuff as well as social commentary stuff, but he doesn't, I mean, to me at least, maybe it's just the way my brain works, but he's not pandering to you, and he's not trying to manipulate you into thinking things. He's taking real events that happened before to certain politicians and uses that in the story for different things like sex scandals and is he gay or is he not gay, is he, you know, a womanizer, little things like that, you know. And then he does some things that make people mad, he does some things that make people happy, and there's all sorts of shit that happens during his time. Like there's a winter where like a bunch of people are freezing and shit. Like it's really crazy. Amazing story. The journey is well worth it if you really want to do it. Like I said, it's 54 issues. You can collect it in multiple ways. So the easiest way, the cheapest way, would be the trade paperbacks or collect editions. There's 10 of them, and that includes all 54 issues. So you'll have roughly 5 to 7 issues per collection. Most of them are 5. There's a couple that have 6, and actually I think they all have either 5 or 6. I think I'm looking at the list here. Yeah, so either have 5 or 6, because a couple of the volumes they throw in the special that goes in there, and that helps spread them out. But definitely check it out. If you're a collector of comic books and you want really nice collectible versions, there are hardcover collectors you can get. I think you can still get all of them, and there's 5 of those, and they break down from about anywhere from 11 to 12 issues per book. That includes, again, the specials thrown in there, and all they do is take the 10 collector's editions and throw them into each one, so 2 per hardcover. Those are the Lux edition books, so you can get those that way. I had ordered mine. I burned through them. Like, if you ask Joe or Mike when I've got these, like, I fell in love with Brian K. Vaughan a long time ago, but I never went back and read his stuff because for a long time I kind of fell away from reading independent stuff, and I was reading a lot of his Marvel and DC mainstay stuff, and then I got into some of these other ones, and like they led me to some of these other creators that I just fell in love with, Mark Miller being one of them, which I will talk about next week, and a little more in depth with a couple of his books. But that's how I fell in love with Brian K. Vaughan again, even more so than the stuff he did at the Insight with the Runaways. I never read his other books, which I'll get into his second book, which I go back and forth on this, which one of these I like more, because both of them are amazing. But reading those books, I mean, I literally like, I consume them so much. It was ridiculous. I would burn through them in like a day, which is terrible because like, it literally would last me like a week and a half to get all of them. And what sucked about it is I had to wait for them to get ordered because no one really carried them. And like the comic shop I go to, that the guys and I go to, they didn't really have them, which is a shame. And I kept saying to Ken, you should carry these because they're amazing. But I mean, obviously like they're older stories, but if no one's going to recommend them, you can't just have them on stock, maybe one issue each or one copy each. It's easier to do trade paperbacks because they're cheaper. And they're from like $10 to $15 usually for those. So it's easy to have those in stock, but I prefer the hardcover, because, they are amazing. I love them so much. I scoured comic shops and comic cons to get all the original books. So I have issue 1 through 50 and the 4 specials in the actual individual issues, as well as the collected editions, because I love them. And the next one I'm going to talk about, also Brian K. Vaughan book, not done with Tony Harris, done with a young lady named Pia Guerrera. So what makes this next book, the reason I did it second is, again, I have a hard time going, like, how to put this properly. I have a hard time determining which one of these I like more than the other, and I say that because it's super hard for me to pick, because they're both amazing. Both stories are very drastically different for the most part, yes. They're different stories. One is a superhero story. The other one's not even close to being a superhero story. It's a very real story with real people, but crazy and ass shit that goes on in this, and it is Why the Last Man. So again, if you listen to the regular show from the beginning, I have talked about this before. I wanted to make this a TV show. I don't think it should be a movie. I don't think Ex Machina should be a movie. I think Ex Machina does have the ability to be movies and TV show that can join. So a big event that would happen would be in a movie, but I think it should be done as just a TV show. And both of these would be very easy to do. And I think... And I'll get into a little bit with the adaptations of both of them. Both the properties are back in the hands of the loving hands of Brian K. Vaughan and his cohorts with him, because he co-created them with the artist that he worked with. So he co-created Ex Machina with Tony Harris, and now they conjointly own the movie right, the film adaptation rights to it, so they can create what they want out of it. The studio doesn't have any more. And same thing with Why Last Man, it retained back to them because the studios kept balking and not making what they needed to keep the adaptation, the rights to it. So it faltered back to the creators, which is Brian K. Vaughan and Tony Harris for Ex Machina, and Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerrera for Why Last Man. So they can do what they want with it. And I'll get into a little more about the TV adaptation that is probably going to happen fairly soon, most likely, because I think they're hot and heavy into it, which is really exciting, but I'll get into more of that too. But why I like Why Last Man so much is the story is devastatingly ridiculous, and I'll try to explain what I mean by this. So there will be some spoilers in this, but not enough to ruin the actual overall story and like what happens at the end, because the impact is just ridiculous and the things that happen. So the whole story, the synopsis of Why the Last Man is a little easier to break down for you than Ex Machina. Basically, Why the Last Man refers to literally the last man on Earth. So Yorick Brown is the main character. One day, everybody and everything with a Y chromosome, that's man, creature, anything with a Y chromosome, they all start dying. of terrible bleeding from orifices, vomiting blood, cardiac arrest deaths. Every man. That's male dogs, cats, monkeys, pandas, bears, anything with a Y chromosome that literally is a male mammal of any type that has a Y chromosome dies, except for two male creatures. One is Yurik Brown, and two is his... it's not pet monkey. They say man. It says it's pet monkey, but it's supposed to be an assisted animal. And his name is Ampersand. He's a capuchin monkey, and he was basically being trained as like a companion, like a seeing eye dog, type thing, but as a monkey, like, which to me seems like not a probably greatest idea because they're kind of not really easy to train, I would think. Anyways, so you have him. And you have Yurik and you have Ampersand, and they're the only two living males on the planet. Everybody else dies. Like, every other male dies. So and this is set in a time, not even going to say way back in the day, but the idea behind this is because men run so much of the country, and not because women can't do it, it's because it's always been that way, and like, it's not sexist. And at least it's me, and from what I've ever read from other people, they don't believe it's sexist either. But basically, because men run so many things, that starts to break down. Women can get certain things running, but then like, it becomes a post-apocalyptic all over the world. And so planes are crashing out of the sky who are being driven by flown by men. Cars are crashing. Fires are starting. Systems are going down. Power's going out. Because a lot of the jobs that would be done this weren't really done by women, so the infrastructure kind of breaks down. And throughout the story, you see them rebuilding these things, but because of the tremendous relationship between men and women and their job roles, a lot of that shit just goes down south. Like, it just goes down. It's crazy. And so the whole story is, once this happens, Yurik with Ampersand decide they're going to go to see Beth, his girlfriend, who's in the Australian outback, and they're going to be together because he doesn't know what's going on, but he notices that, like, he's the only dude. Like, but the funny part is, he doesn't know this right away. He just thinks there's like this crazy disease that's killing people, so he tries to get a gas mask and shit to like protect himself from this whatever this virus is. And then it turns out that he's good. He covered himself up because like, people are going crazy if they see a dude, and they don't really see any dudes because he's the only one. So like, all sorts of shit goes crazy, and like, this goes on. Like, the time period, this isn't like, oh, 3 days. It's like lots of time passes during the story, and it goes some crazy directions. I mean, you have government agencies that are involved, and you have like these, there's a bodyguard that Yurik gets. His name is Agent 355, and she puts it upon herself to help him because she is tasked to save the last man. And then they meet Dr. Allison Mann, M-A-N-N, who is a geneticist, and like, they form this little like trio, and they're basically making their way across because like, there's a whole bunch of story. I'm not going to try to spoil too much for you. But then there's like, then he gets separated from them because of certain things that are happening. You have this crazy group of radicalists called the Daughters of the Amazon. And they actually end up, oddly enough, recruiting Yurik's sister, whose name is Hero. It's a very bizarre name. I realize that, but her parents were very into Shakespeare. So that's why Yurik and Hero are the names they have. She's his older sister, and she joins up with them, and their crazy thing about them is they basically, because there's like no electricity and there's like no guns, there's guns, but there's like, the best way to do it is like to be silent and stuff. Like, they use bow and arrows and spears and shit, and their warriors voluntarily chop off one breast as in solidarity to like the Amazonian princess or queen or whatever, and it's supposed to help them with their aim with bows. Yo, crazy. Like, I'm trying not to spoil too much about what's happened because there's a lot of craziness that goes on within that because of that story, but yo, so good. So good. Like, both these books are like tremendous, but like, again, this is why I couldn't decide which one to do, so I just did them both. I'm like, fuck, they're both by Brian K. Vaughan, and they both deserve what I'm talking about, which is TV shows and movies, mostly TV shows. But, you know, like, the story goes, like, so many weird places. Like, Beth 2 is in it, and that's a whole different thing. And then, like, you have these, like, warring factions of ladies that are building, like, forts and like these societies that fight against each other, like craziness, like Mad Max, but like all ladies. It's so crazy. I mean, it's nuts, dude. Like, it's like, I can't, how awesome this is. I'm like at a loss for words, because like the story is phenomenal. You start feeling for the characters, the shit they're going through, the predicament they're in, not just Yurik, but like the ladies too, because like their world's thrown upside down, because they were like, there's, I mean, they have women, they had men they were in love with, husbands, not all of them are good, by the way, like some are crazy abusive, but that's the real world. But like the crazy world when they go on, because every time, everywhere they go, anywhere that's got people, they have to hide Yurik, because anybody who sees a man is going to lose their shit. Like, what is this? Like, what's happening? And then, like, there's these astronauts. And, like, dude, like, I'm telling you, dope-ass story. Amazing characters. Again, a book I just could not stop reading. I read this one first, because I mentioned, like, all these different things. And I can't remember if it was Keith or it was Ken, one of my K friends. I think it was Keith. Same person that got me into Invincible is like, yo, like, we were talking about it. He's like, yeah, like, why Last Man? I was like, oh, I'll check that out, because I like Brian K. Vaughan. And that's what started me, like, super into Brian K. Vaughan, as I read this. And then I was like, yo, I was looking on the Googles, like, ga-ga-ga-ga, what else I got? Ex Machina, that's done, I can read that. And I started reading that. I was like, yo, this is dope as well. And I burned through that shit. And then, like, he came out with Saga. He's got Paper Girls. Anyways, we'll get into that in the Brian K. Vaughan month, which will be, I have to figure out when his birthday is, because that's the month I'll do Brian K. Vaughan stuff. It's like a tribute to Brian K. Vaughan. I know it's like, do it once a year, and like the next year I have to do something else, I guess. But whatever, I can think about it. Doesn't matter. I'm in charge. So yeah, Ex Machina, Why Last Man. Definitely, if you're into comic books, but you're like, oh, I don't want to read superhero stuff, I highly recommend both of these, because even though Ex Machina is technically a superhero book, and there's a reason I brought them both together, because I'm not trying to do just superhero stuff, because I think it's kind of played out, and I think there's a lot of other stuff that people would enjoy, but both of these are really good. And like the superhero stuff on the Ex Machina is very sliverish of it. It's not really all about him being a superhero. It's about his powers and stuff, and him balancing real life and stuff like that. But it's the story of him as mayor with these powers, but also trying to help people in like the best way without, you know, like using his powers really for the most part, because he doesn't want to use them, because like he feels like that's a crutch. He's good enough without him as a person, as a politician, as a mayor, that he doesn't need to step back and use those abilities to help him in that. And then Why Last Man, like I said, just tremendous story. It is all over the place. Ex Machina, so one of the big differences between Ex Machina and Why Last Man is Ex Machina is this like straightforward story. It's like got an A to a B, but with like these flashbacks in between to tell you different things, like to show you his past, which is pretty cool. But then like Why Last Man is a sprawling adventure of epic proportions. Like, it is so dope. I can't even stress how amazing the story is and how ridiculous shit gets in it. It is awesome. Anyways, I think that's where I'll end it. So Ex Machina and Why Last Man, both by Brian K. Vaughan. Check them out. Oh, for Why Last Man, you can get the collection also. There's 60 individual issues. This one I also bought all the issues for. You can buy them in trade paperback. There are 10 of those as well. They range anywhere from 5 issues to 6 issues, I think, on all of those. It actually might be 6 issues. It looks like it might be 6 issues. Some might be less. Doesn't matter. Those, as well as the collected edition. And if you're really hardcore and you want to buy like super, like, really nice hardcover with like slip covers, not just like dust covers, like dust jackets, but like actual like hard slip covers, you can do the Ultimate series, There are four different ways you can get this. If you can find individually, it's five. But basically, in trades, you have trade paperbacks, which is 1 through 10. You have the original re-release of the oversized hard books, which I also have, with different alternate covers too, which is pretty cool. They have 1 through 5, and then they have deluxe editions, and there's 5 of those ones as well, and they're in the same format as trade paperback. So if you don't know this, so trade paperback is the same size as a comic book, literally, like essentially like the same physical size. So they're very, very small and very easy to keep around. The oversized hardcovers are bigger, obviously, hardcover. And so the art's actually blown up in them and really done. They do a really good job making them look better, and they're nice presented too, because they come with nice dust covers. And then they have the Absolute Editions, which are the ones I was talking about, like the super hardcover ones. There's 3 volumes of that one, 1 through 20, 21 through 40, and 41 through 60. Those are all out now. Those are more expensive, but you are getting all of them, and they're gorgeous looking. Hardcover book, hardcover sleep, hard slipcover form too. They have, I believe all 3 of those have built-in bookmarks. I could look, they're right here next to me, but I'm not gonna. I'm just letting you know. Those ones, if you really like the feel of a hardcover book, you can do that. Otherwise, if you just want to consume them, they're all available digitally as well. And these in the same collection as the trade paperback, so volumes 1 through 10. You can get them pretty cheap, I think, from like Amazon or like Comixology, which is Amazon. And if you're a Nook guy, you can, or Nook person, you can get the Nook version of them as well, I believe, too. But I know Amazon has them because I've seen them on there before, because it's like, hey, you like Brian K. Vaughan, you read these? I'm like, motherfucker, I read these. I didn't get to the TV show stuff. It doesn't matter. I believe it's needs to go. It really doesn't matter, because Brian K. Vaughan has the rights. So he is like exec producing and shit like that. So it's going to be dope. I'm pretty sure he's going to handle the business and make sure it's locked down and true to the source. And if they do it right, they literally could get like 10 seasons out of it, or like 5 seasons if they really wanted to do it really well, like 10 episodes each for like 5 seasons. Oh dude, telling you, bro, everybody, like, they could do it, and it would be like 5 years of amazing television for both. It's 10 years of amazing television you can make out of both these series. Like, yo, that is like 5 years is like a perfect amount, and like, it's not overdoing, and you're not trying to draw it out. You just keep it an issue, an episode. You have 60 episodes on one, 54 on the other. Booyah, baby. You could get it done. It'd be amazing. They should just hire me. I'll think of the ideas for them. Plus, I wrote a treatment for it that Brian couldn't take, because I didn't have an agent, and he can't take stuff with the copyright, even though it's his stuff. Like, I didn't do a lot of work. I just broke it down like how you should do it, but whatever. That's all I got for this week. So, I'm Cody, and like normal, be awesome. Ha ha. See you next week.